So here we have an order that also responds in an interesting way to a traditional medieval model. That is to say, going forth to the infidel to try to convert him. One might almost say that this was what was left of crusading fervor in the 16th century. Now, not armed pilgrims going off to liberate the Holy Land, but Jesuit missionaries going off to win the populations of Asia for Catholicism. Women, too, played a role in this reform movement of the Catholic Church in the 16th century. Let's mention, for instance, Angela Merici. Angela was born in 1474. She died in 1540. She created the Ursulines, an order of teaching women dedicated to St. Ursula. Now, Ursula was a legendary British Christian who was said to have been slaughtered along with 11,000 other virgins by the Huns. There is often in the lives of the saints a little bit that eludes precise historical analysis. But anyway, Angela dedicates then her order to St. Ursula. Now, Angela herself was in the first place a Franciscan tertiary. What that means is she was a lay woman who adopted some aspects of the lives of the Franciscans. She did not profess as a Franciscan nun. She spent some years teaching girls and attending to sick older women. And that was something like the kind of work that the Franciscans themselves had done in the 13th century. And then she formed the plan to create a school for girls. You know, up until now, though we've been talking about the new learning, the Renaissance, in either its Italian or its Northern forms, and although certain women did write important books, there were female humanists, and although some women, particularly aristocratic women, though sometimes in Italy women from important merchant communities, were able to receive a considerable education, the new learning was very largely a male project. Well, Angela comes along and decides to found a school. In 1535, she created a school in Brescia, a town in the north of Italy, and she staffed it with women. Now, these women were going to lead a common life, but not be cloistered. In other words, they could go out into the world. And so, in a certain sense, the Ursuline order was founded, but not founded, strictly speaking, as an order of nuns. Here was another new religious idea in this very period when the church may not have been welcoming new religious ideas, but Paul III approved this order in 1544. Now, what was unusual, of course, was the idea of a community of women who would do some things in common but not be cloistered. There was a fear of scandal. Well, Paul decided to take a chance, as he had indeed done with the Jesuits. Now, very shortly after this, ecclesiastical authorities actually cloistered the women and sort of denied them their opportunity to function a little bit more widely in the world, but did not take away from them their schools. Indeed, Ursuline convents remained important schools, this is true in the United States, for girls until relatively recent times. There are still a few. There were formerly many more of them. So in a curious kind of way, here is a reform at the very heart of the Catholic Church that is designed in an interesting way to bring the new learning, to bring the Renaissance, as it were, to women, or in this case, to girls. The most famous Catholic woman reformer of the 16th century didn't found a new order. This was Teresa of Avila, 1515 to 1582. She revitalized the Carmelites, that's true, she was a member of an order, and Teresa led a reform within the Carmelites that led to an upsurge in the number of houses, which followed the very strict primitive rules of the Carmelite order. A late 13th, early 14th century order by origin. She had to overcome considerable opposition from a number of women who had joined Carmelite houses and who lived there under, we might say, somewhat relaxed circumstances. They led a rather elegant and pleasant lifestyle. Well, Teresa was having none of that. She wanted a much stricter form of life. Teresa was herself a prolific author of spiritual treatises, including an autobiography, which has been translated many times into a variety of languages and is a work of very considerable, for many people, a work of very considerable spiritual inspiration. She eventually came to be recognized as one of the Catholic Church's greatest theologians of prayer. Indeed, Pope Paul VI named her a doctor of the church in 1970. In other words, one of those persons whose teachings are thought to be important and valuable for all Catholics everywhere.